There's folks in the Florida House of Representatives. If you followed how this has gone in the legislative session, when I propose something, the leadership there, they just reflexively oppose it. I mean, that's their view. Now, they didn't run on that. They ran on our agenda, and they seized power because of us. They wouldn't have a supermajority if it wasn't for us. And yet they're there just trying to stop, you know, good progress. And the reason why, I mean, look, I think that they are more, the leadership in the House is probably more sympathetic with more of the open borders. But part of it was they didn't want me to get a quote win. That's how these people think. They're not trying to do your business. They're pursuing their own personal agenda. They have vendettas. They have these things. And so that was a really telltale sign.
So the governor says, he tells Channel 3, or sorry, this is actually his speech the other day, where he says that the House hates me. They're just against me because they don't want me to win at anything. They have personal vendettas against me. They're out to get me. They're for open borders, and they have a iron fist around all of their members, coercing, cajoling, and scaring them into doing what's right. And they're, I mean, he used all kinds of colorful language. They're smothering the property tax proposal in the crib. They're kneecapping it. And it's just giving a benefit to the stupid Canadians. He said Canadians like so many times in this press conference. It was so weird. Joining us now, we have Alex Andrade, State Representative Alex Andrade. Alex, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So obviously this is, you know, you're good friends with the Speaker of the House, Danny Perez. The Speaker has proposed this idea of I guess it was originally a 0.5%, but now it's kind of moderated to 0.25% across the board sales tax cut. The governor says this will make it impossible to pass a property tax referendum in a year and a half. And all you're trying to do is destroy the budget surplus so that we can't afford to pass a property tax referendum. You know, you guys are poopy faces and hate conservatism. Can you unpack this a little bit for me? Because I don't read you guys that way. But, you know, your chance to respond.
Sure. Well, first and foremost, I don't know when precisely our governor became a toddler, but it's making it, like, just very annoying to listen to him. But the whole concept that we have is, hey, let's cut taxes and let's also cut our budget. Like, we're talking about government efficiency across the country. We as the state, let's cut the taxes that we collect as the state and let's also cut our budget. That's what we're doing. We're reducing our budget by nearly $3 billion this year and reducing our tax revenue likewise. Governor DeSantis really wants to focus on dogeing everyone but himself. He wants to, you know, doge, in air quotes, local governments and universities, et cetera. And so his big proposal for tax cuts is, you know, property taxes. Well, we don't control property taxes. Those are local governments. And for us to cut property taxes, that has to go on the ballot next November 2026. So what Governor DeSantis is saying is no one needs tax relief in the state of Florida until 2027, and that's assuming it passes in a referendum. He's also now apparently saying that this immediate sales tax cut, a cut of $3 billion to our budget, will make it impossible for us to offset property taxes, meaning let's not cut taxes now. In the off chance, we might possibly could maybe cut property taxes next year. It's the most ridiculous logical fallacy that he's making right now. Why not both? Why not both, Governor? Are you saying the state's $3 billion that we're trying to cut this year is going to somehow not be spent in the interim while we wait to pass this referendum? We're not putting in the savings to offset property taxes. And if you don't couple property tax cuts with actual spending cuts, you're not actually cutting taxes.
You know, it strikes me as a weird approach because it was so much an either or the way he was setting this up, that you would either do the sales tax cut, and he kept, you know, poo-pooing the idea that it was so small, that it was, you know, less than $100 per taxpayer. I think that math is close. I'm not sure it's quite right, but it's, you know, it's not a big amount. I agree with that. But, you know, giving homesteaders back $300 to $1,000, that's not a massive amount here. It's also not a property tax reduction. It's just a payback. But if his argument is we won't have the surplus left to afford a property tax cut then because of this piddly tax cut that you guys are proposing, and yet he's offering an apparently bigger tax cut right now or a rebate check right now, like the whole logic of it doesn't add up. But I just want to press you on one thing because I want to make sure that we're on the same page. you guys aren't saying sales tax cut now and no property tax cut or reevaluation later. Because if you push me to pick, I'd rather have property tax reductions than sales tax reductions, for sure. And certainly I'd love to consider eliminating it. You're just saying, let's do this now, and we can talk about doing that later, because the later isn't even a guarantee.
Yeah. I mean, it would be hypocritical for us not to cut our own taxes right now if we're advocating for property taxes and forcing local governments to cut their taxes. No, I want to do both. I'm a conservative, Governor DeSantis. I want to cut as much taxes as possible, cut as much spending as possible. Let's start with our own budget first. It's like he wants to cut everybody else's budget, but not his own.
Yeah, the idea of imposing a reduction of income on the counties and the cities while not being willing to impose a reduction on the state sales tax income. I mean, yeah.
He's a hypocrite.
Yeah, who are you forcing to pay the price? He takes a very strident tone against local government. They're raising, you know, they're generating more revenue than they've ever generated before. They don't need to have as much revenue. They could go back to, you know, 2019 spending levels. They're wasting your money. They should be the ones to take the cuts. And now I talk to, and you do too. We talk to city council, the mayor. We talk to county commission, the administrators, and all these folks. They are struggling to make ends meet, even with the increased budgets, because of the increased cost of everything from firefighter salaries to construction to paving equipment to sand renourishment. Like, everything costs more. And I feel like the governor somehow feels there's this land of milk and honey flowing out of the county government's largesse, when it's my opinion that the local governments are getting less and less money because of increased homestead exemptions. They're getting imposed upon with mandates that they can't afford, unfunded mandates, and they're consistently being told to do more and more with less and less. But what's your take on this, Alex?
No, I'm sure that there are some local governments that are at the max amount for every, you know, tax they can levy, every fee they can levy. But again, why point outwards when you can point inwards, Governor? Governor DeSantis has increased his budget every single year since he's been in office, and that's since he was in Congress, when he presided in Congress over budget increases and growth in the budget since he's been in public office. There's not been a single year where his budget has actually been lower than it was the year before. So for him to talk about people's budgets growing, it's hypocritical and also ridiculous. He needs to look inward. Local governments around here, we do the rollback rate. You know, there's a campaign to encourage local governments to select the rollback rate this year. That campaign isn't really needed in Northwest Florida because our local governments generally do opt for the rollback rate.
I thought Santa Rosa maybe did it, but Escambia has not done the rollback rate. For people who don't know, the rollback rate is the idea that as property values increase, your property taxes increase. And what we'll do is we'll take the millage rate and we'll put it back at the level that would produce the same level of income overall, which is a lower or a rollback rate. I don't remember anybody. I thought Santa Rosa did a partial rollback, but not a full one. But I don't think anybody else has done one locally. Am I mistaken about that?
There are local city and counties that I think the city of Milton has done a rollback rate in recent history.
Okay. Maybe they're even like the ones I'm thinking of, a partial. So, okay.
And I think Gulf Breeze has probably done a rollback rate. I'd have to double check year in and year out, but I am sure that rollback rate has been opted for more often than we might think.
Okay. I mean, I may be wrong, but I don't remember it, especially when, you know, big budget, the counties, both counties particularly. But anyway, and you're right, that's an option for them to do some kind of a cut. And again, I know Santa Rosa County has done some cutting in this regard. I do want to switch topics just a little bit, because it's another thing that the governor brought up when he did an interview with Channel 3. I want to play the actual clip for you so that you can hear it from his mouth and then you can respond. This is another kind of criticism of the House particularly.
Why did they last week just do legislation to undo the tort reform that we did? Now, we actually have auto insurance rates have gone down 5% so far this year. Our property market has stabilized as a result of reforms that were done a couple years ago. These are tough issues, but what they're doing, everyone agrees, will mean more money for trial lawyers and higher costs for consumers. Why would you vote for that in the space of this? And I think that something's wrong with how the House is conducting themselves.
Okay. I wasn't familiar with anything you guys were doing that fit that description, but I figure you would know what he's talking about and you can respond, Alex.
Yeah. If you ever wondered who owns Governor DeSantis, it's the insurance lobby. The only thing we've done this year is work on making sure insurance companies pay out claims fairly, more accurately, and more efficiently. And that's in relation, on top of the fact that insurance companies were discovered to have hidden their assets and lied to the state about their losses a few years ago. There was this bombshell report at the beginning of session about insurance companies hiding their assets, lying about them, and we had a big investigation about that at the beginning of session.
That's the whole thing where the parent corporation or the subsidiary is reporting losses by hiding the profits into the other corporation and therefore getting more favorable rates and being able to raise rates when they're actually making. Was that issue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
When we have a bill that tries to make it easier for an insured, a consumer to get paid on their insurance claim or to make it more fair in litigation against an insurance company, that apparently is what DeSantis is talking about. And he's just repeating word for word what the insurance lobbyists are saying. The two things that constituents always talk about with insurance are the price of premiums and their ability to make a claim and get paid out and taken care of by their policy. You can work on both, but apparently DeSantis wants to make it as easy as possible for insurance companies to keep your money and not give it back to you ever.
See, that's what I find frustrating recently, particularly listening to him when he narrates his version of the immigration bill battle. And I think I remember all of this and that's not what I remember. Or when he's narrating his version of the property sales tax bill, like that's not what I remember at all. And then so this with the tort reform, it just doesn't.
He'll never tell you he's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in money from the hemp lobby when he rails against marijuana. Like these are things that he just doesn't tell you. But people need to look at how much money he's been collecting from special interests like insurance companies and hemp and down the line, because he is selling himself out on his way out the door. And he's making it seem as if like he's the only person fighting for folks. It's ridiculous.
Alex, one last thing I want to get in with you before we let you go is, and I don't know if you've heard me talking about this or not, but there was this really weird crash. And I know I'm a little bit fixated on this, but when I find things that make no sense, I will kind of can't get tunnel vision on it. It's a law that says that if you're on a two-lane highway with a dotted, dashed line where you can, pass, and I'm making a left turn, and somebody gets annoyed with me or gets irritated or doesn't want to wait, and they pass me, and then we collide because they're passing when I'm trying to turn. In many situations, it's my fault. And I had somebody text in and say, my very first accident back in the 80s was I was on Via de Luna turning into our condo in my grandparents' car. Somebody didn't want to wait. They passed around me. They hit me, and I got the ticket for it. That strikes me as a crazy law that, A, most people do not know is the law in Florida, and, B, could probably use a little tweaking. Any thoughts or any...
Yeah, someone should really do something about that, Andrew.
I wish I knew a legislator who had it.
Yeah, someone should really get right on that.
All right.
No, it's a good... No, point well taken. I understand. Thanks for bringing it to me. I agree with you. So going into next session, starting this November, let me see about some language.
Okay. I mean, and it maybe there's some justification for it that I'm not seeing. Maybe there's some way to write it where there's like a threshold of right-of-way or something, because I can get there circumstances where it might make sense. But generally speaking, I was like, oh, my God, some jerk wagon can decide that he wants to not wait for me, pass me on the left, and I'm to blame when he hits me in the side. Like, that cannot be right. Anyway,
well, it's a weird incentive. You don't want anybody in that left lane when someone's turning,
right?
Like, you don't want anyone oncoming or passing in that left lane when someone's turning. So why incentivize that?
Yeah, exactly right. Alex Andrade, our state representative for District 2. Alex, as always, thank you for the time, and we'll look forward to talking again next week.
Thanks, Andrew.